Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God so good?
He's good.
He's so good all the time. We came to worship this morning. Glory. I encourage you, don't just worship here in church, but make sure you have worship time at home and also, you know, just with your families. And I'm so blessed that I live with a worshiper. Amen. It's a blessing because our house is always filled with worship. And so it makes for a peaceful place. Amen. It makes for a very peaceful place. But it's so good to be in church today and excited about just all that God has for us. We're going to close up our series that we're doing on Galatians. Hope everybody's just dived into Galatians these last few weeks and just realized that it's not about religion. It's not about the rules. It's not about trying to be good all the time. But it's just being in that relationship with Jesus. Amen. Walking, being in step with the Spirit. When we recognize that we live in the tree of life, amen, that God empowers us to live life for Him. It isn't about, you know, God just shaking His finger at us. It's about God embracing us, amen, embracing us with His love and His presence and just walking with Him. And so for the last 5 weeks, we've studied out Galatians. We've gone chapter by chapter, and we've learned about the flesh and the Spirit. We know that our flesh is, boy, that's a doozy, isn't it? Our flesh wants to do things and doesn't want to go the way of God, but thank God by His Spirit, amen. Not necessarily by, you know, some people are like, just get your act together. You ever hear anybody say that to you? Get your act together, right? It isn't about getting your act together. It isn't about straightening up. It's about getting into a relationship with Jesus. Amen. I always tell people, there's no such thing as a sin problem. I do not believe in a sin problem. If we have a problem with sin, it is because we have a relationship problem. Amen. Because our relationship with the Lord, when we walk with Him, when we have His Word in us, when we're in His presence, when we know that He loves us no matter what, it's the love of God that's going to lead us into, the Bible says, repentance. It's the love of God that's going to lead me into not having to do good, but wanting to do good. And so the book of Galatians is all about the freedom that comes with a relationship with God. Because we all remember in Galatians chapter 1, and if you weren't here, you need to just go back and listen to it. Pastor Devon did a great job ministering that week. And it's just really the foundation of really of our salvation. Because what happened is Paul is writing a letter to the church of Galatia, and he's telling them, listen, you guys are getting off track. Because what had happened, Paul came in, he's teaching them, he's telling them that Jesus has come, and Jesus paid the price for your sin, that by Jesus and what He did for you, you are forgiven, you are saved by the blood of Jesus, amen? And that by what Jesus did on that cross, that He opened the door for us to come into relationship with God the Father. The Bible says when Jesus was crucified, that the veil, which was, if you study it out, it was like a curtain, but it was over 2 feet thick, and it separated the people from the Holy of Holies, like a physical place in the temple that they had. Nobody could go beyond that veil because they weren't holy enough. But when Jesus, when He went to the cross, when He was crucified, the Bible says that that veil was rent in two. It was torn in two. And so what did that show? It showed that no longer would we be separated from the presence of God by sin, but because of Jesus and what Jesus did, now according to Hebrews 11:6, I can go, anybody know the next word? Boldly to the throne of God, the throne of grace, it's called. Aren't you glad it's not a throne of merit? Aren't you glad that there's not a check-in station where they're going to check your church attendance and they're going to check your tithe and they're going to check if you've been, how you've been treating your wife, and they're going to check. Now, all those things are important, but because of Jesus, I get to go to the presence of God no matter what.
Anyway.
Isn't that good? I tell you, if you pray with me, you know, we have prayer here Tuesday through Friday. Man, I always say, Lord, I come boldly before the throne of grace, not based on what I have done, not based on who I am, but based on what Jesus has done and who he has made me. I come boldly, not because of me. I come boldly because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. We have to know this. We have to know the freedom we have in God, because if we don't, we won't do what that song says. One of the lines in that song, I love it, says, I'm going to sing my song unashamed. Amen. We have a song to sing, but how many know some of our songs have some verses that have some, you know what I'm saying? So they got some, we got some rough spots in our song, right? But we can still sing our song. We can still hold our head up high. We can still go right to the throne of God, not based on what I've done, not based on the law that I have obeyed, but based on what Jesus has done for me. And that's what Paul is telling the church of Galatia, because he came and he taught them that, and they were doing good. But then the Bible talks about these people came in. They were the Judaizers. That's what they were called. They wanted to bring the law into Christianity. They wanted to say, listen, it's great what Jesus has done, but you still better get your act together. It's great what Jesus has done, but you still better obey all the rules. And Paul tells them, I love Galatians, and that's why I went chapter by chapter, because in chapter 3, Paul calls out these Galatians and he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Who has gotten you thinking that what Jesus did is not enough? Because here's the thing. If you let any mistake you made, any sin, that's what a sin is. It's just missing the mark. A sin can be doing the wrong thing. It also can be not doing the right thing. We can have a sin that we do, and then we can have things that we're supposed to do. We're not doing. It's just missing the mark. That's what the word means. And so if we let any of those things keep us from going boldly into the throne room, then we're operating in law. Back to where we were. If we let any of those sins, any of that stuff, if we let it keep us from loving God, walking with God, being with God, we're letting the law sneak in. And we can't do that. And then we also learn, because if we stop there, everybody's like, woo, I can do whatever I want. But then Paul taught us in chapter 4 and 5, he taught us, listen, Don't just because of grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for forgiveness. But don't let that make it an excuse to say, well, I can live whatever life I want. I can live by the flesh. Paul says, no, we need to live by the Spirit, and we need to let our lives be examples. Amen. But this is how we know if we've crossed over from religion to relationship. Because it's no longer about what I can't do. It's about what I want to do. If you're still caught, well, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I got to go to church, and I got to be nice, you need a little more relationship time. Amen? That's what you need. You need relationship time. You need to spend time with Jesus. Spend time with his word. Let his word change your heart. Let his word renew your mind. Amen. And as we do that, as we just concentrate on Jesus, we're going to move out of that I can't and I got to I want to. I want to live for Jesus because I love him. I want to live for Jesus because he loves me. Amen. Not because I have to, but because I want to. That's how you move, you know, if you've moved from religion to relationship. Amen. And so now here we are, we're in the last book, chapter 6, last chapter. And so everybody, if you would, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse number 14. Now, I just gave you 5 weeks of preaching in about 10 minutes. That's pretty good, right? Here we go. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. And this is where Paul's been writing, and he's been telling the church, he's been pumping them up, he's been correcting them. How many know correction is a good thing? The Bible says that God corrects those he loves. God doesn't want us to stay in wrong teaching and wrong attitudes and wrong ideas. He wants us to move into the freedom that truth brings. Amen? The Bible said you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. I'm so glad I've been set free from religion. Amen. I grew up in a denominational church, and I thank God for that church, and I thank God for the salvation message that I heard, but I didn't experience freedom in that church. I always felt like I wasn't good enough. I always felt like I had to, if I obeyed the laws, God would like me better. Amen. I always thought if I just do everything the right way, I'll be God's favorite. I'm so glad that I found out that I am God's favorite no matter what. I don't know about you, but I'm God's favorite. Amen? I'm just kidding. We're all God's favorite. But, you know, just to give an idea, the denominational church that I grew up with, and as a kid, when I got into high school and stuff, I was kind of, you know, out of church and wasn't in. But as a kid, I some people had said, you know, listen, girls don't wear pants. If you want to love God, you can't wear pants. I mean, anybody else grow up in a church like that? And so I wore skirts all the time. And gauchos. I remember gauchos. Oh, Jesus, help us, right? I mean, I was not making any type of fashion statement. I'm just going to say that. No type of fashion statement at all. I did it because I thought I had to show God I loved him. And just all these little things that you couldn't do this and you couldn't do this. It was, I heard more about the couldn't do's than I heard about how much God loved me and that God loved me no matter what. I thank God I was free. I got free from that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But the thing is that when we stay in that religion where it's more about the rules, I thought the rules would make me good, but I learned that Jesus already made me good. Amen. He already did. And so Paul's talking all through chapters 1-5. He tells us about the grace of God. He talks to us about the flesh. He talks to us about being in step with the Spirit. Amen. And then in chapter 6, he kind of changes focus because before it was all about me and my relationship with God. But in chapter 6, he changes focus and he says, hey, now that you have this relationship with God, here's what you do with it. Amen. He says, now that you understand that you are free, now that you understand that you are loved, now that you understand that it's by relationship, not religion, now that you understand that it's not the law, that it's not about circumcision, it's not about wearing pants or not wearing pants. You need to wear pants, all right? We understand that. Don't come in here next week and be like, I'm free from wearing pants. You know, this is not that kind of church. This is not that kind of church. Well, if you come in, we'll ask you to just politely sit in the back and we'll give you a prayer cloth. Amen. Maybe a couple of them. It depends. But the thing. All right. Thanks. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Angel's like, oh, I got that picture in my head. You guys are getting me off track. So we're all agreed everybody's going to wear pants next week, right? All right, okay, just want to be real clear about that. But even if you didn't, Jesus would still love you. Amen? And so we've learned all through here. So now in chapter 6, Paul's saying, okay, now that he's gotten us straightened out, now that we're no longer foolish Galatians, he's gotten us straightened out. He's put us back on the right track. He talks to us. He says, this is verse number 14. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He's saying, okay, now that we've gotten straightened out, we need to remember that the world, that's not our place. We're in it, but we're not of it, he's talking. And then back in Galatians 5, we learned this a couple weeks ago. He says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. We're free, right? He says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. He says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he said all the laws that you guys are trying to bring back and all the, remember there were over 600 laws in the Old Testament. It started with 10. And then by the time we get to the New Testament, man has added so many things. And he says, listen, you can sum all that up. All of it. You can sum up everything. It says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Galatians 6:2, out of the New Living, he says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. And so chapter 6, he talks about loving other people. He talks about that we're to obey all the commands by loving our neighbor as ourself. And he says, we're to share each other's burdens. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through life alone? You don't have to go through everything alone and not have anyone help you carry things. I remember I saw a plaque one time, and hopefully I'll get it right. It says, good friends divide the pain and share the joy. Isn't that good? A good friend will divide the pain. A good friend will come and say, let me help you carry that. Let me help you through this difficult time. But then in those times of joy, a good friend will come and leap and laugh and be excited with you. Amen? And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. So really, chapter 6, we're all through. We've gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're here. Paul is talking about that it's about other people. What kind of life, now that I know that I'm free, now that I know that it isn't about religion, now that I know that God loves me right where I am, now that I know that the grace of God will empower me to let go of things that are holding me back, let go of those sins that bind me, now that I know that, what am I going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? He's talking to the church. And so the first thing we got to do is realize that we live to make a difference. That's why Jesus set us free. In Galatians 6:10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Aren't you glad you're in a family of believers? And you know, the Bible says that when we have opportunity, we're to do good to all people, and especially those in the house of God. We're to take care of one another. Amen? We're to take care of one another. Now, let me just stop there. There's taking care, and then we can cross that line. And if you want to talk to me about it, I'll be happy to do it. We can cross that line. We don't want to cross the line where we enable, where we're causing someone to no longer live the life Jesus has for them because we're now doing things that they should be doing on their own. Amen? That's called enabling. And so, but we love people. But we're going to do good. And so to do good means that I can't do for you what you should be doing on your own, because that's going to rob you in the end. How many know that's true? So if I'm going to do good, I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Amen? That's a good word right there. All right. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So how do we do that? The first thing we need to do, number one thing we need to do, according to Galatians chapter 6, is we need to identify who what we would call our circle is. Who's your circle? Our circle is our family. You know, the Bible says if you don't take care of your family, it says you're worse than a, what's the word it uses? An infidel. That's a pretty harsh word. And so we need to take care of our families. We need to be there for one another in our family, for your spouse. I remember a long time ago, I had to have a hard conversation with a woman at church. It was years ago when we were on Jog Road, and she was always at church, man. She was just always there, but yet she had a family at home that needed her.
And she had just gotten a little mixed up, and she thought in order to serve God, she had to do everything. And so I had to sit down and I had to talk to her and I had to say, listen, God loves you and God knows you love this church, but your family needs you too. You need to go home. You need to go home and spend time with your family. And really, honestly, she didn't take it really well. She was like, what are you saying? I need to be here. And are you saying I can't serve at the church? And I said, I'm not saying you can't serve at the church. I'm saying you cannot serve at the church as much as you are. There is a balance to life. And her family and her children were suffering. If your kids resent the church, you need to reevaluate. Amen. You need to check stuff. And so when we look here, we need to look at our families and we need to take care of our family. We need to identify who has God put around me that I'm to do good to? Who has God put around me that I'm to share the love, the life, the joy that God has put in me? Who's God put around me that I'm to share that with? And over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, it says, but we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. So there's an area of influence that God has assigned to you. Amen. Do you know that when school was starting, we prayed over every student, every kid that was going back to school, and you know, adults that were going to college and things like that. We prayed over them and we prayed that the seat that they sat in would be ordained by God. We prayed that wherever, because how many know who you sit next to matters? Who you sit next to can make a big difference about what happens. And we pray that God would bring the right people to surround their place where they sat, that it would be a person that God would be able to use them to minister to them. We said that any plan that the enemy had to distract and disrupt and cause somebody to get off track, that bad company would be far from them. Amen. But the right people, the God ordained plan would be wherever they sat. Amen. God has assigned you. He has assigned you. You know that person that just keeps popping up? And you're just like, why do you keep popping up in my life? God has assigned you that person. Amen. He has assigned a circle of influence that we need to recognize and say, this is my assignment that God has given me. Amen. And so just take a second and ask yourself, who's my sphere? Who's my circle? He says, but with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. What is that area of influence? Those people that you work with. Amen. Your family, the people you work with, the people that are on a sports league as you, the people that just keep popping up in your life. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, is this my assignment? Amen. God's got something for you to receive from them or them to, for you to give to them. Amen. But it's an assignment. How many want to do the assignment God has for us? In Acts 17:26, it says, from one man, he made every nation of men. That right there, nobody in this church, because we're just too diverse for that. I mean, we got everything in this church. We got somebody from everywhere here, and that's how it's supposed to be. But anybody that ever had any idea of one race being greater than another or even different than another, this is a verse for you. He says, from one man, he made every nation of men. And that word nation, that word, if you translate it out, it means ethnic group. Isn't that good? So next time you look at somebody, they may look different than you, but they come from the same place. Amen. Because it was from one, we all came from one place. So we may look different, but we're all the same. And so he says, from one man, he made every ethnic group of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Even where we live, here in Lake Worth, You know, I was driving. You know, I love Lake Worth. I grew up here. I mean, is anybody else you grew up here? Like you went to high school here? How many remember we would? You're too young. I'm talking about old people. We would go and we would get our cars and we would cruise down to the beach, right? And they used to let you park in there and everybody would park there. You'd pull your cars in and everybody would stand outside and everybody cruise by in their car with your music turned up and everybody'd stand around and talk. And then once that area closed, we'd all go to the Burger King, which I found out Marisol worked there. So we probably saw each other when we were teenagers, didn't even realize it. We'd all go to the Burger King and we'd sit there and we'd sit in the parking lot and we'd go inside. That's what we did. That was the excitement of teenagers back in the 80s. That was it, right? But I love Lake Worth. I love it. And as I was driving through the other day, you know, how many know Lake Worth is, you know, parts of it are getting a little sketchy, right? It's getting a little sketchy, you know? I mean, that's just a nice way to say it. It's a little sketchy. And you know, and there's some problems, you know, there's a huge drug problem in Lake Worth. I mean, there's just a lot of problems in Lake Worth. And as I was driving through, I felt like the Holy Ghost said, this is your assignment. This is your assignment. You're here for a purpose. You're here because I'm thinking, you know, like there's a part of you that says, oh, you know, maybe we should move west. You know, maybe we should go out west. You know, because it just seems, you know, isn't it really nice? How many, like, you drive down 441, you're just like, oh, it's just really nice out here, you know, it's nice out here. You know, but I was in Lake Worth, I'm driving, and the Lord just spoke to me, just rose up on the inside of me. He's like, this is your assignment. And as I was looking at people, and people were hurting, and people were in tough spots, and people were in situations that naturally, there's nothing I can do, but spiritually, there's a lot I can do. Amen? And the Lord said, you're here for purpose. It's your assignment. This place, they need us. They need us to speak the word. They need us to pray. You know what we say in prayer? We say, Mark Hankins came here and he said this, we've never forgotten it, and we say it all the time. We confess it, we believe it, that we see a blood-washed Lake Worth. Amen. All the problems that you see people having and you think, man, what is their problem? You ever hear something on the news, you think, what is wrong with them? Right? I'm not the only one that does that. You do it too. What is wrong with them? They need Jesus. That's what's wrong with them. Just like when you were a little crazy, you needed Jesus. This is our assignment. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. This is why God brought us here. He placed us here because this city needs a spirit-filled church that will stand in the spirit and confess and believe that the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? Because if you look naturally, it looks like they're working. But thank God we serve a bigger God. Amen? That we can pray and stand. Amen? And why? Because this is our influence. This is a place where God places. You need to ask the Lord, where are you? On your job, next time you go in, instead of being aggravated with those coworkers, look at them differently and say, you know, just don't say it to them because they won't understand. You can't say spiritual things to natural-minded people. They don't get it. But on the inside, just think to yourself, you're my assignment. God has brought me here for a purpose. I'm in this place to be a light for Jesus. Amen? You have an assignment from God. Next thing we need to understand is that when we see people that are we're hurting and we see our assignment, that we need to meet them in their place of need. Aren't you glad that God didn't tell you to straighten up and clean up and act right and get your act together and quit all the whole list of things you needed to quit before he said, come. He didn't. He just said, come. Sometimes we want people to clean up before we help them. Amen. But we need to meet people where they're at. Remember Galatians 6:2, out of the New Living, it says, share each other's burdens. Matthew 25, we're going to read just a few verses here, starting in verse number 34. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. This is Jesus talking. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And so Jesus is talking to them and he's saying all this and they're like, when did that happen? When did that happen? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You did for me. And so you say, why should I reach out? Why should I be loving? Why should I be kind? Why should I meet people where they are? Why should I do all that? Because Jesus says, when you do that for the least of these brothers of mine, he says, you did it for me. You did it for me. You know, small things can make huge differences. But again, we want to be led by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you a story. One day, I was driving, and the couple days before, somebody had given me a Holy Ghost handshake. How many like those? You know what a Holy Ghost handshake is? It's when you got a little money in your hand and you shake somebody's hand and you leave the money in their hand. We call this Holy Ghost. Somebody give me a Holy Ghost handshake with a nice, crispy, brand new $100 bill. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money to me. And so I had it in my wallet because I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm gonna do something special with this. You know, this is a gift from God. I'm gonna do something special with this, right? And so I'm driving, and I live off of 6th Avenue, and I'm driving, and I get to the intersection of 6th Avenue, and there is a homeless person, as there usually is. There is a homeless person. They're asking for money. And so I'm getting ready to turn, and I felt like the Holy Ghost said, give them that $100. And so I kept driving. I rebuked that. I was like, that is not the Lord. That is not the Lord. And so, now listen, sometimes those thoughts come into our head and it's really not God. It's really not the Lord. That's why you need to be in step with the Spirit. You need to wait. God's never in a rush and God will never pressure you. And so I kept driving. I'm just being real with you. But then it came again, not from my head, but from my spirit. And I said, so I stopped at the red light and I was like, Lord, if you want me to give that $100, I will gladly do it. I just want to know that I know that it's you. And I had peace about it. I just knew. And you'll know too. Just don't be in a rush and test it out. Amen? And so I made a U-turn and I came back and I drove really slow. I was like, Lord, are you sure? Of like, I just want to know, Lord. So I got that $100 out, and I pulled up next to this little lady, and I rolled my window down, and I handed it to her, and I wanted her to know that it wasn't a dollar. I didn't want her to just stuff it in her pocket. And I said, listen, the Lord told me to give this to you. I just made a U-turn because God said to give this to you. And I said, you need to look at what it is. And I said, and here's my card. I believe the Lord isn't going to end this relationship right now. And I gave it to her. You know, that little lady came to church. And from that $100, she was a little tiny lady and had some health problems. And her name is Regina. And she, at that moment, that $100, which really isn't that much money in someone's life, it changed her life. Because of it, she came to church. She started coming. You remember her? She started coming. She wrote me this letter that I still have to this day that moved me to, I'm just so grateful. Because of that, she needed $100 to get into a place to live, to get off the street. Once she got off the street, she had an address. She was able to get her disability, which she truly deserved. Because of all of this, because of $100. You never know what $100 is going to do. You never know what $10 is going to do. Amen? You don't know. Now, I lost track with her, and she, you know, she's had some struggles. But she came back to church about 4 or 5 months ago after we hadn't seen her for a long time. And that connection was made again. You just don't know who your assignment is. Sometimes they don't look like you. They don't sound like you. They're not from where you're from. But if God has an assignment, we need to listen and obey. Amen? Because that was one time. And God can use all of us. How many of us have said, Lord, use me. Use me. But when the Lord says, give that person $5, you're like, use somebody else. Use somebody else. You know? Or you know, reach out to that person or do this or do that. We're like, use somebody else. No, God is giving you an assignment. Amen? But remember, don't just because a thought comes into your head doesn't mean it's God. Doesn't mean it's the Lord. God speaks through our spirit. Amen? And he leads us through peace. And so when we think about that, because I know sometimes we can be frustrated and we can see people and we can say, you know, get a job or whatever. And those things are true. Sometimes someone does need to do some things. But if God speaks to you to meet them at their point of need, you never know what that small thing that you do is going to do. Because, you know, I'll tell you another story. I walked into Walgreens one day at 6th Avenue in Dixie. Be careful around there. But I walked in there, you know. And there was a young girl sitting outside the door, and she's asking for money. And so I'm looking at her, I'm like, you know, I don't normally give money, honestly. I did homeless ministry for years, and that's just only when God speaks to me to do it. And so I walked in the store, I got what I needed, the Lord spoke to me. Just the whole time I was in there, I was just thinking about her, and thinking about her, and thinking about her. And so I walk out there, and I looked at her, I said, what's going on with you? How'd you get here? How'd this happen? You know? And she looked at me like, whoa. She goes, listen, I just need some money. I said, I'm not going to give you any money, but I want to know how you got here. How'd you get here? What happened? And she said, oh, I came here because of a boyfriend. And I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to keep walking. That's a whole other message. I came here because of a boyfriend, and this happened, and that happened, and now I'm down on my luck. And so I said, listen, this is my card. You can walk to where I work. You come there. I'll put you to work and I'll pay you. I feel like the Lord said to do that. So you know what? She showed up. One of the hardest working people I ever met. Hard working girl. But you know, she just wanted to work for the day and play for the night. But she was given an opportunity. And we worked with her for days and days, tried to get her all the help she needed, but that was her choice. But you know what? She'll know that somebody, I'm sure we weren't the only one. Other people tried to help her too. Somebody gave her a chance. Amen? You don't know who you're. Some assignments, God uses you and it works out great. It has a happy ending. But it's always up to that person what choice they make. Amen? God can't make anybody do anything. And so when it comes, we can't be discouraged. We just got to say, Lord, is this your assignment? If it is, I'll do it. And then you leave it up to the Lord. Amen? Next thing we want to do is we got to identify that circle of influence. Who's God put in your path? Amen? I've told you about people that I've invited to church, and 20 years ago, they got born again, spirit-filled, and some of them are in the ministry. Just from an invite. You never know what something's going to do. Amen? And so who's our circle of influence? Who's our assignment that God has given us? And then let's meet them where they're at. Let's not turn our face and be like judgmental. There are things people need to do, but what has God told me to do? Amen? What has God told me to do? And the next thing I want to do is I want to point people in my sphere of influence. I want to point people that are my assignment. I want to point them to Jesus and his church. To Jesus and his church. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, Jesus is talking and he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, He said, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, listen, when we come to Jesus, he said, come, if we're heavy burden, if we've got a lot going on and we need rest. But here's the point that a lot of people, the young girl, she came to Jesus, but she didn't want to put his yoke on her. She came to him, but she was like, whoa, I still want to do things my way. When we reach out to people, we need to point them to Jesus, because it's only Jesus that's going to give them lasting change in their life. It's only Jesus that's going to bring the peace that they're looking for. It's only Jesus that's going to bring the health and the happiness and the joy and fill the emptiness on the inside. My money isn't going to do it. If all I had given Regina was money and drove away, she would have been on that corner the next day. But we gave her Jesus too. Amen. You got to give Jesus, because he's the answer. Money comes and money goes. How many know that? It comes and goes, but Jesus is forever. He's forever. And so when we reach out to people, it's sure you're going to be kind, you're going to be loving, but if Jesus doesn't get the glory, we're missing it. We got to give Jesus to people, because it's Jesus that brings rest. It's Jesus that brings healing. It's Jesus that brings salvation. It's Jesus. Amen. And then we need to bring the church, because in Psalms 92, 12 and 15, he says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees. Whenever you hear about palm trees in the Bible, it always represents health. It says it's healthy. And so, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. Listen, Jesus, I always tell people when they're like, oh, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and I don't need church. I'm like, listen, church is Jesus's idea. Amen. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. He is the one that instituted the church. This is his bride. Amen. This is his house. It was his idea to meet together. It's his idea to serve together. It's his idea that this is where we come. And he placed the gifts of the Spirit in the church so that people can grow. Because you know what happened? She's not here, but and you don't know who she is. I think she's in Tennessee now, but with Regina, she was doing great when she was in church. But as soon as distractions and this and that, back you go to your old life. Back you go. We need church. It's a stabilizer. It's a grounder in our life. It's where we're rooted. When people are rooted in church, they're more healthy spiritually. That's when you become that palm tree. Instead of a little tiny just sprig getting picked up and planted here and picked up and planted here, that thing's never going to grow. But once it's planted, it flourishes. We need to be planted in the house of God. This is God's idea, not ours, because he knows we need it. We need church. I always tell people, and they say, I don't have to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, that is a true statement. But to be the Christian that God wants you to be, the one of the New Testament, he instructs us to go to church. He instructs us to be part of a church. He instructs us to give our time, our treasure to the church, because it's what we need. It's his design. It's where we flourish. It's where we grow. It's where our wings begin to spread. It's where we're grown up in the Spirit, is in the church. We need it. And so Paul tells me, he says, listen, at the beginning of Galatians, he's like, you guys have goofed this up. You've goofed this up. and he gets them all straightened out. And then he reminds them, you need this church. He's writing a letter to the church to correct their doctrine. And he tells them, listen, there may be some problems here. And we've gotten them straightened out, but you need church. You need it to flourish. Don't forsake the assembly together. You say, oh, I can get this at home. No, you cannot. You know, now the big thing is online church. I am so opposed to online church. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started with it. It is contrary to the word. If you're on vacation, sure, watch it online. But as a whole, you need church, because you can't get this sitting in front of your computer screen alone at home. Can't do it. I know my own family, when we moved from, I used to live in Okeechobee, exciting place. I lived in Okeechobee. When we moved from Indiana to Florida as a kid, my parents were rooted and grounded in church. We moved to Okeechobee. They immediately got back involved in church. But when we moved to the big city, West Palm, we went to church, but we never stuck. And then my dad said, God bless him. He meant well. He's like, well, we'll watch Jerry Falwell on TV. So that's what we did. We watched Jerry Falwell. But looking back, you can see the spiritual decline of my family because we weren't in church anymore. We were watching it, getting a good word, but we weren't a part of it. And it's different. And it wasn't until my brother came, my brother Mark, moved to Florida. Mark was in Indiana, involved in ministry, and the Lord spoke to him to move to Florida because your family needs you spiritually. And now his legacy, because of that move, still lives. Not only in me, but in my brother, my nephew, all in the ministry. Because he obeyed his assignment from God. He had a position up there. He had a position in Indiana in ministry. And he came down here to nothing. But he had an assignment. I was his assignment. I was a tough assignment. My brother was even worse. But I thank God for it. But man, I see the difference. I look back on our family and I see the difference of when we were in church and out of church. You want to flourish? You got to be planted. Amen? And so when we look through Galatians, we've learned so much. But the most important thing is the promise of freedom. And it's in Galatians 6, 8, and 9. It says, the one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up on the things of God. Don't give up on your assignment that God has given you. Some of you got a tough assignment. You got some family members that are just, they're tough nuts, right? I mean, it's just, they're tough. Don't give up on them. I'm living proof that persistence pays. Amen? I'm living proof. My brother is preaching the gospel in 15 minutes. He is living proof that persistence pays. Amen? Don't give up on the assignment that God has given you. God set you free to be the blessing your assignment needs. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're so thankful for the book of Galatians, that Lord, that it shows us and reminds us not to let religion back in our lives, to recognize it immediately when those false ideas start to come in, when we start feeling shameful or not able to come into your presence. Lord, remind us what Paul said. He said, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Lord, remind us of the truth that you came, you died on the cross, all to set us free from the bondages of sin, from the religion of the law. You came to set us free and to open the door for relationship with you. that we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We're no longer employees. We are heirs. That you came, and because of what you did, you translated us out of darkness and into the family of God. Oh, help us remember always that we're not trying to earn it. We've already received adoption into the family of God when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Thank you, Lord. And just for a moment before we close up, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Peggy, I've never given Jesus all of me. Maybe it's because you thought that you had to get better or clean up or do right or get your act together before you could come to God. But today you've heard that Jesus loves you right where you are. Today you've heard that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, Jesus loves you. And he receives you, accepts you, and gave his life for you. It's a free gift. All you got to do is say yes to Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today, just for a moment without looking around, and you say, I want to call on the name of the Lord today. I want to receive forgiveness, power, and know that I know I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, nobody's looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that all my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm in relationship with Jesus. I want all that salvation has. I want all of it. And I want to receive it today. Anybody like that before we move on? Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I believe that all of us in here are on our way to heaven. And I just thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.